Yum Nub. Eat out the Yum Nub. A tomato chicken.
Hello and welcome to Yubcast, your Star Wars cartoon podcast. My name is Jamie, and yeah, I got some clerical concerns regarding my chain code.
My name is Matt, and today we fight for more than the Republic. Today we fight for all of our brothers back home.
Excellent.
I love your quote.
Yeah. Well, I figured I would use it because I think you were on an airplane, and I just dumped a huge bunch of like cartoon stuff on you because I've been watching The Mandalorian, and I started to get really annoyed with the whole character and everything with Gina Carano, and so I just started complaining about it. Then I started writing a fanfic about it, not that kind of fanfic. Perverts. Just like backstory and stuff. And I was thinking that it'd be great if she were to get a book or something, because she's a fascinating character, and they really made it seem like they were making her character a more interesting than just somebody who likes to shoot people. So it'd be cool if they could explore that. I'd be down.
Yeah, I'd be down for a Cara Dune novel. I just don't know how poisonous the character is overall now to Disney, and if they'd ever like what their agreement with her was about the character or anything like that. But yeah, I'd read a novel about her. That'd be fun. We talked about it for a little bit. Like, she was basically like the anti-Leia.
Yeah.
Like, Leia's type of person, like, saw the planet destroyed and was like, oh my god, we have to like stop this from happening ever again. And Cara Dune was like, oh, okay, I'm just going to kill every imp I see.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think, yeah, she would be great, because the thing that spurred me on to think about it was that the last episode of the second season, where they capture the Imperial shuttle, and the shuttle pilot mocks her, saying that I was on the Death Star. He recognized the tattoo. He's like, I recognize the tattoo, and I was on the Death Star. Haha, like, all you terrorists died. And then she's just like, shoots him. But yeah, that she could be the anti-Leia, because all the Alderaanians that we've ever met in Star Wars have all been royals or people of like higher class. There's like Avon Verlain, who was a rebel pilot who flew Leia around. She's from the comics.
Was she a royal?
No, but she's higher class, and just like everybody.
And I guess technically she became a royal, right? Didn't Leia make her like Princess of Alderaan or something in exile?
Yeah, I think something like that. It's been a while since I read the Leia comic, but everybody was like somebody. You didn't meet anybody who was just a lower class trailer trash Alderaanian. Like, you didn't meet anybody who like worked in their subway or worked to pump their gas in the money. Not saying that people who do those jobs are trashy. It's just that you never met like the lower class, not lower class as in like puts ketchup on pizza, but just lower class as in just like not like rich, more just working class. Let's say that, working class.
Yeah, you backed out of that gracefully. We won't get any emails now.
How many emails are we getting now? Anyways, zero.
We got that one spammer from a YouTube wanting to optimize our channel.
Oh. well, it's nice to know somebody cares.
But you don't meet the YouTube spammer from Alderaan. That's what you're saying.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, she could have just been like that could be her backstory, that she was actually getting scammed by some sort of like HoloNet tuber thing, and she was off planet like dumping her family's entire savings into the Star Wars equivalent of Western Union when Alderaan blew up, so she lost her family and her friends and her savings. So she's got
I'm an Alderaanian princess and I need your help.
That's good. Yeah, but I just like the idea that she's just like some like working class stiff. And it could have explained like why she, as her acting improved with like lessons and experience, could explain why she was more just like swears up storm and not like just kind of like, I don't know, kind of they could have explained away kind of like the kind of the so-so acting and just like, well, she's just a bruiser, like
she's a tank.
Yeah, she's her like the Alderaanian space rugby team was at nationals or at the quadrants, I guess, when Alderaan blew up. So she's just a big pro athlete who's never had to use big words.
Right. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think our official stance from our podcast is we like the character. We understand why Disney didn't renew her contract.
Mm-hmm.
And that her suing Disney now is not the best action she can take.
Yeah, no, it stinks of desperation. It just reminds me of times where I got broken up with, and I resorted to like begging and just debasing myself to try to get back together with the girl. It never works, and it's not a good look.
Yeah, you gotta learn that lesson at some point in life where time to move on.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, all right, fuck you. Right? It's not the most mature thing to think, yeah. But it's like it helps sometimes. Like, all right, fine.
Yeah,
like,
screw you. Yeah, your Star Wars costumes smell.
It's because I fart.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I faked.
All right. What?
I faked all my orgasms. Or I faked liking Star Wars. I never liked Star Wars anyways.
Yeah, take it back. Fuck. I don't think I told you this story, but when I was in Europe with a month-ish ago, like 2 months ago now, I was hanging out with this guy in the beer community I knew from, he used to live in the States, we used to talk all the time, he's from Texas, but he lived in New York, and then he moved to Brussels, and he sort of allowed, I'm sure you know the type, like, a loud clown,
mm-hmm.
who's always joking. And as he gets drunk, the jokes get raunchier. And so we were at a bar. We were bar hopping one night in Brussels. And he starts talking about visiting prostitutes in Brussels, right? Which is mm-hmm. prostitution is legal in Belgium. It's got rules, but it's legal. And he was talking about, like, we're talking about what we should do that night. And I just want to go bar hopping. I wanted to hit like half a dozen bars and get some food in the middle and just keep drinking all night. Just like numb yourself to the world. It's fun if you got like a good group to hang out with. And he was talking about like, he's like, you know, for 40 euros, we can go fuck some woman. I'm like, yeah, I don't really want to. And he starts talking about like how before he was in the relationship he's in now, he's like, I used to do that all the time. He's like, like you get 15 minutes for like 40 bucks. And he's like, so it's 15 minutes. It's not a lot of time. So like, I would like get naked immediately. Like when they go, like put the money away. And he's like, when they come back, like we do our thing. And at the end, he said, I'd always ask him, did you come? And they'd say like, not this time.
Well,
anyway, I don't know what made me think of that, but the rest of the trip, we were always asking each other to borrow 40 euros.
15 minutes, Mr. Stamina there.
Yeah, we picked up this young British guy. He was actually an American. He was from Ohio, but he moved to Britain when he was two. And so he was culturally British.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, he might have been like 25. I have no idea why he was hanging out with us, but he just like had latched on. And there was a woman we were hanging out with. She worked at one of the breweries. She was there on an exchange program, and she was from Boston. And I actually knew we had a bunch of mutual friends, and so she and I were hanging out the entire time, like for those two nights that we were bar hopping. And this idiot British guy, child, he's like, oh, I think she's really into me. And I'm like, she has a boyfriend? And like, she's not. And he's like, get on my level. He's like, of course, like all women are into me. I'm like, oh, to be that dumb. Get on my level. Everybody's into me. It's like, yeah. But we ditched him after a day or two. Can only hang out with someone that young for a little bit. Yeah. All right.
Young people energy is just, it's not for me.
Yeah, not acceptable. Not an acceptable way to be. All right, so I think we're going to return to some bits that we had done in the past, coming up in the next two episodes. But in the meantime, do you just want to get into Bad Batch?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so today we're still reviewing Bad Batch episodes. We're reviewing Season 3, Episode 5. The return originally aired on March 6th, 2024. And normally up at the top, I would have something about, the cast and crew, except this is a sort of a bottle episode from the crew's point of view. There's no guest stars. And our writer is well known to us because, it's Amanda Rose Munoz. We talked about her in season one, in season two of Bad Batch, because she wrote things like Pepu and the Solitary Clone and Infested and Decommissioned and blah, blah, blah. Right, so she's a veteran writer of Bad Batch. We've already covered her. And then the director is Nathan Villanueva. We've talked about him a bunch because he did Bad Batch and the entire ton of season one. Of Bad Batch and a bunch of Clone Wars. Sorry if I said Bad Batch earlier. He did Clone Wars and season one of Bad Batch. So this is basically an all-star cast for Bad Batch, right?
Mm-hmm.
So no one quite new in this one. All right, so the return. The show opens up with Omega sleeping on the Marauder. She wakes up and sees her doll. Hunter and Wrecker are there. Shep and Liana have left food for Omega. And she asks where Crosshair is. Wrecker says he wasn't there when they woke up. So Omega goes to check on him. So immediately we see that they're all hiding out on Pabu. What do you think about the return to Pabu?
That's nice.
Yeah. We didn't see any of the Pabu characters in this episode, but it's good that they have this sort of home base. Crosshair is out on a ridge with AZ-1, the little medical droid from Kamino that they picked up. Practicing shooting. AZ-1 is holding fruits for him to shoot. Batcher is there with him, the dog. Crosshair also has fruit from Shep and Liana. Crosshair tells Omega that he's been training. They have a conversation about sniper skills. Crosshair says it's about patience and knowing when someone is watching them. Crosshair motions to Hunter, who is watching them from the ridge. Hunter tells Wrecker that maybe they shouldn't have given him back his rifle. Wrecker says Omega trusts him and that's good enough for him. Crosshair is shooting at a 53% accuracy.
Yeah, he's got definitely got the shakes. I don't know if it's just from his all the things that they did to him, or maybe he's just kind of lost his edge.
I think he has the yips.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just got. He needs to speak to a sports psychologist. Is what he needs to speak to.
Yeah.
I also didn't. I know it's for comedy or just for just to show what's going on, but AZ-1 is holding the fruit.
Yeah.
When if someone's shooting 50% accurate and you're holding the target, is it William Tell? Who supposedly shot an apple off of the head of his wife or something. Anyway, it sort of reminded me of that. Who is the guy that wrote Naked Lunch? Burroughs?
Oh, I don't know.
William S. Burroughs? So William S. Burroughs, have you ever watched the movie Naked Lunch?
I've seen parts of it.
Yeah, well, I went through this whole Beatnik thing for a little bit, and I read all of that Ginsberg and stuff.
You're right, it's Burroughs.
Yeah. I read all that Ginsberg stuff and Burroughs and Kerouac and all that stuff, and I got over it, but at the time it was interesting enough. And in the movie Naked Lunch, there's a scene where they have to show, I can't remember where they're going, but in order to get to their destination, they had to show something original they did. And the main character turns to his wife and he says, do you want to do your they want to see our William Tell impersonation. And she's drunk and she puts an empty glass on her head, and he pulls out a gun and shoots her. And she dies. That happened in real life. William S. Burroughs shot and killed his wife that way at a party.
Jeez.
And he put it in the book.
I guess it's about time for our William Tell routine.
And anyway, that's super dark, but good trivia for Naked Lunch. That scene actually happened in real life. But yeah, AZ-1 is holding the fruit as he's shooting it, so they're doing their William Tell impersonation. All right, learn the explicit tag this week. We're talking about Burroughs. Anyway, so they're shooting the fruit. Echo shows up in a ship, and this is actually the ship. It's called the Remora. It's the same ship they used in the episode where they're rescuing clones. They hijack the shuttle that's taking the clones to Tantus.
Mm-hmm.
So Echo shows up in a ship. The Bad Batch greet him, and Echo immediately asks Crosshair for intel. Mega and Crosshair give a breakdown of Mount Tantus and tell the Bad Batch about Emery. Echo has been searching for a long time, has no idea where Tantus is, and Omega says they still have Nalase's data pad, but it doesn't work anymore. Echo says they can't break the encryption, especially without Tech. So Tech's absence is noticed here.
Yeah.
Crosshair says if they plug it into an Imperial terminal, encryption won't matter. He knows of a remote understaffed base where they can access the info. Did you know where they were going?
No, I didn't. Well,
yeah, I was curious where they were going. I had my suspicions.
Yeah, they didn't give me much time to think about it to where they showed it and like, oh, right.
All right, sorry. Hunter suggests that they split up and go to this base, but Omega protests, saying they just got back together. They can't split up now. Crosshair and Omega are talking. These two have obviously gotten closer. Crosshair tells Omega that Hunter is only looking out for her, doesn't want her to get captured or hurt. While they're talking, Wrecker comes up and gives Crosshair his old armor. This is a very interesting moment.
Mm-hmm.
In the ship, they're all together, and they approach the planet Batten 4, the site of Crosshair's betrayal of the Empire, where he shoots Commander Noland. I was very happy that they're returning to this location. I think we both loved that episode. And it was sort of the beginning of Crosshair's redemption arc. And so it's really nice to take the team here to show them, like, his journey, too.
Yeah.
Echo's ship lands on the outskirts of the base, and he's not picking up anyone On scanners or comms, Echo reports that the base is abandoned. It's not understaffed and overwhelmed, it's deserted. The Bad Batch head into the base. Crosshair comes out wearing his old armor, and he sees an ice vulture circling the base. So the ice vultures in that previous episode were like sort of his familiar, the thing that was always stalking him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any thoughts on this return so far?
So far, no. I like seeing him back in his old armor. Like he's, they've kind of, they're in different armor. At least their armor is colored different, and his is still the same red and black that it was during the Clone Wars. And
yeah, that's a good call out. Like they're all, they probably either repainted or gotten different armor, and he's still sort of in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
not quite caught up with him.
Yeah, I had forgotten his one pauldron had kind of a weird angular thing on it. Was that ever explained what that is? Do you know what I'm talking about? His I think it's his left pauldron.
It's got like a long rod on it.
Yeah.
I think he uses it somehow to like brace his arm to help him aim. Like helps him like line the rifle up somehow. It's definitely something to do with the shooting. But I don't know if it's ever been explicitly explained.
Yeah, I'm there'd have to be some sort of functionality to it. Either that it's for like, determining the weather.
Right. It's for good luck.
Yeah.
So it's hard to describe like all of the conversations that Hunter and Crosshair have while they're on this base, but the first half of the episode, Hunter is being very abrasive. So now they're at this abandoned base, and Hunter confronts Crosshair and says the base is abandoned, not understaffed. Why didn't he tell him that? Crosshair is defensive and says that he didn't get regular updates while he was a prisoner, and Hunter dismisses him and basically says that there's something you're not telling us. I'm honestly curious if Crosshair's had the opportunity to talk to them at this point.
Yeah.
We don't know how long they've been on Pabu.
Yeah, I'm guessing that he's not the kind that just will open up. So
also, these people are suffering severe psychological trauma, and they're not being treated for it. And so it's shocking that they're functioning at all. Really.
Yeah, he's very, out of all of them, he's very mission oriented. So he's only going to tell them what they need to know. He's not going to say that, yeah, this is where I made a friend with a reg and then he died. And because they let him die, I decided to shoot the Imperial officer in charge.
Right. All right, so Hunter notices a beacon giving off a high-frequency pitch. I think Batcher notices it first. Crosshair says it's protection against local raiders. He's speculating. Hunter again asks why Crosshair didn't mention these raiders. Crosshair says they were all dealt with. Hunter asks how he knows that. Crosshair says to guess how.
Yeah. I asked them politely to leave. What the hell do you think?
Yeah, genius. Do you want me to say it? Hunter throws his back in his face in a really rude way, saying, was he just following orders? which is a fucked up thing to say. But Omega breaks it up. So as the team approaches the front door of the base, it's basically buried in snow, and they have to dig their way into the base. The beacons keep sounding. Inside the base, it's dark and deserted. They cautiously enter and find a data station that is operational. They power it up, and Omega realizes that the sensor beacons have drained all the power to the station. Echo suggests they turn off the beacons to power the station. Wrecker wonders why the Empire abandoned the base. Crosshair says it served its purpose. If you remember in that episode, its entire purpose was basically a waypoint, a logistical waypoint to move Stormtrooper armor.
Yeah.
And so it's not like it was a lot of strategic value to the base. It's not shocking to see it abandoned, is all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Crosshair goes exploring in the command center, and he finds some clone helmets on the floor. He stands them back up. Hunter sees him doing this and is suspicious. But this is the ritual that Mayday had with his men. So he would put their helmets on the counters to make sure that they were remembered.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
They see him doing this, and it's kind of like, I don't want to speak for these characters, but it's kind of like the Spidey sense is kind of going up a little bit, because there's like, this is, Crosshair is not the sentimental type.
Right.
Because if he was putting them up, it would just be so he could have something to shoot.
Yeah, exactly. Also, why are they on the floor? Right, if they were set up before.
Well, because they got all the stuff, and they knocked them down.
Right, no one cared.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Omega turns off the beacons and powers up the station. They start to download the information from the pad. Not shocking, the pad is mostly medical records and manifest of clones kept on Tantus. Echo says something to the effect of, there's a lot more clones there than we thought. Outside, something is moving. Batcher the dog is getting antsy, and Crosshair goes outside to check. Hunter follows him. Omega wants to go too, but Echo tells her to let the two work it out. They should focus on the data transfer. Outside, Crosshair asks Hunter if he's going to be his shadow. Hunter asks what Crosshair did to get on the Empire's bad side. Did he betray them like he betrayed them? So did Crosshair betray the Empire like he betrayed the Bad Batch? Mm-hmm. We're going to flash back and forth a bunch of times in between inside and outside of the base. So back at the base, Echo and Omega are talking about the data. It's not as useful as they hoped, and Batcher starts going crazy. Omega is getting worried. Back with Crosshair and Hunter, Hunter is pushing him. Crosshair says he killed an Imperial officer. Crosshair pushes back against Hunter, saying he's actually upset that his actions, Hunter's actions, endangered Omega. She was captured because of Hunter and rescued because of Crosshair. That's what Hunter is really upset about.
Yeah.
This is like a really bad fight with your spouse.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you're just like your mother.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a comedian I like, and he has a bit where it's an older bit, but it checks out.
It's an older code, sir, but it checks out.
It's where he says, like, as soon as when you're arguing, as soon as you say, well, you know what I think, it's done. You're done.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, you don't follow up those words.
But it is interesting, because we've talked about Hunter in the past basically being incapable of processing a loss. Right? I think you said something like he's not used to winning. He's not used to losing. And so he's just trying to go get a W, and we're talking about like the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And this is Crosshair like absolutely kicking him in the nuts. He's like, what you're really pissed about is that you fucked up and that you tried to fix it and you weren't fast enough and I fixed it. That's what you're really pissed about. Right? And you're mm-hmm. pretending to be scared of me because it makes you feel better. It's withering. It's perfect in this moment.
Yeah.
Just then, a huge ice worm attacks the base. And Dune just came out. Have you seen Dune 2 yet?
No, I've been waiting for my son to get some schoolwork done. Some of his teachers gave him assignments over spring break. So he's finishing those up, and as soon as he gets those done, he's gonna go get the. Go see Dune, and then go get the popcorn topper for reasons.
Reasons.
I'm gonna lose my virginity to the Dune popcorn bucket.
Yeah, so just at this moment, a huge ice worm attacks the base. This is what the perimeter beacons were actually doing. They're keeping them at bay. Without the beacons, the worm starts attacking the base. So I was very curious why we didn't see this worm originally. Because we spent a lot of time on this planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my headcanon was that it got... maybe it's either... migratorial... like, maybe it just depends on the time of year. Or they did something to piss it off. And so now they had to protect the base.
Yeah, maybe they dug too deep.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. You're right, though. It's seasonal.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the summer on this planet. You can tell by all of the sunlight.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the explanation that I put in Wikipedia. So it's canon now.
Yeah. Good work.
All right. So inside, they get back inside the base. And they decide they need to restore power to the beacons. They need to get their way back to the breaker. They need to make their way to the breakers to reset the network. Wrecker will go to the breakers to reset the system. Hunter and Crosshair will lure the worm outside the perimeter so the beacons will trap it outside. Otherwise, they'll just trap the damn thing inside with them. And they'll be locked in there with it.
Yeah. You know?
They can't leave the planet because their ship is sunk into a tunnel. Like when the worm went by, it basically caved in where their ship was, and so they're trapped. Echo says he will go to the tower and help them spot the worm. Hunter and Crosshair head out to face the worm. During their encounter, Hunter falls through the ice into a tunnel and cannot get out. Crosshair tries to help him, but he's fallen down too far. And now we're cutting back and forth in between them fighting the worm and Hunter trying to get to the breakers. This whole Hunter getting to the breakers thing reminded me a lot of Jurassic Park. Because doesn't Laura Linney have to go reset the breakers, get to the back of the compound, and prime the switch?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very similar to that.
One, two, three, four. Okay, charge.
Now, under the words contact position, there's a round green button which says push to close.
Push to close. Okay.
Push it.
Crosshair and Hunter are trying to find the worm. Hunter says he will follow the tunnel north to try to find a way out. Crosshair will track him from above, so they're separated above ground and below ground. Hunter makes it to the breaker room, and it's covered in snow. He starts digging. Back with Crosshair and Hunter, the worm is trying to attack Crosshair. He shoots it, but he only makes it angrier. Weapons apparently are not very effective against this thing. It's huge, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the size of like a subway train or something.
Yeah, very like rocky, too. Like it's not like smooth like a worm, but it's got like bulky like armor.
It's got like a big mouth and like plates all over it.
Mm-hmm.
Worms are very common in the Star Wars universe.
Why is there always a huge monster?
All right, so Wrecker is booting up the electrical systems. Power is being restored to the base. Omega asks Hunter if she should activate the beacons. Hunter says to wait until they know the worm is past the perimeter. They don't know where the worm is currently. Crosshair breaks through the ice to get Hunter. Wrecker finds the fuse box and he primes the breaker. Crosshair and Hunter continue to move toward the perimeter. Hunter is inside the tunnel. Crosshair is on top. Patcher finds a weak point in the ice and starts to dig. Hunter starts to shoot the ice, trying to break through. There's a nice exchange here where Crosshair says to Hunter, I'm going to try to break through. And Hunter says, try. And Crosshair says, I'm glad you heard me. It's like, yeah, I'm going to try.
Yeah. Okay. So no, back shut up, Yoda.
Yeah. There you go. Wrecker is booting up the electrical system. Omega asks Hunter if they should activate the beacons now that they have power. Hunter says to wait until they know the worm is past the perimeter, because they don't know where the worm is right now. Crosshair breaks through the ice to get Hunter. They realize the worm is past the perimeter, because they can hear it coming. It's coming from a direction that's away from the perimeter. Hunter gets out of the tunnel with Crosshair's help, and they run back to inside the perimeter. They activate the beacons, and the worm turns around and leaves the Bad Batch behind. Hunter and Wrecker made it with Batcher, so mm-hmm. They're all safe. Back at the base, they return with Batcher. They're all friends again. Echo says they always work it out. Omega asks if the data they got will help. Echo says it's helpful. Omega says she wishes she could have done more. Echo says she did exactly what she was supposed to do. She survived and escaped. Bad Batch dig their ship out of the snow. Crosshair says to Hunter that he thought he knew what he was getting into with the Empire. He thought he was being a good soldier. Hunter says no one knew what was going on back then. Crosshair says he's done things. Hunter cuts him off here and says he's got regrets as well. All they can do is continue to get better. Maybe there's hope for them yet.
He's like, yeah, but you didn't you didn't kill all those innocent people.
I mean, part of his healing journey needs to be a recognition of what he's done. Mm-hmm. Right? And it can't just be internal. Right? So he's trying to make recompense, and I was a little annoyed that Hunter wouldn't let him talk to him. He's reaching out.
I did some bad stuff too. You know, I called Wrecker a bad name.
Left the toilet seat up at Sid's a bunch of times. We stole some spice, right? Yeah. And Hunter's like, oh yeah, I mowed down a village though.
Yeah. There was something I saw on, somebody posted something on Twitter where it was from this episode was scenes with Crosshair and Batcher saying that Crosshair is the dad who didn't want the dog because it shows him like he's just like sits down, he's just resting, and Batcher's sitting next to him, and he just reaches out and starts petting Batcher because originally Crosshair is cold-blooded and didn't care about the dog, and now he obviously cares about the dog a lot.
Yeah, he loves his dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that. I love that idea that Crosshair is the dad that didn't want the dog. He's like, we're not getting a dog because you're gonna play with him for a week, and then I'm gonna be the one walking him, cleaning up after him,
mm-hmm.
and then all like we got this. Like I wanted the dog is the difference, but our second dog, she's my dog.
Yeah, yeah.
She just hangs out with me all the time. And I can't do anything without, like, her. She's, like, a 60-pound, like, black lab, like short-haired mutt. She sort of looks like a little Great Dane. And she, like, crawls into my lap when I'm doing anything. I'm like, you're not a lap dog. You're, like, as big as me, so get off me.
Yeah, no, our one dog had passed, and so we just had one dog, and it was nice. And then like my wife's like, oh, we should get another dog. And I'm like, no, absolutely not. And then one day it's just like, okay, sure, we can just look at him. And then, but then we decided, okay, we're not going to do it. We're not going to get the dog. And then just one night, all of a sudden I'm just like, that dog is fucking awesome. Like I gotta go get that dog. Like it's somehow a hot commodity. Even meanwhile that, our dog had been like an old timer. As far as like the pound is concerned, nobody was coming to get him. And then like now, like he's my dog. That like he's bonded to me. As much as other people try, he's still like he's my dog.
Yeah, my dog loves my wife, and when my wife is around, they're very close and very near each other all the time, until I get home. And then that dog is like, oh, Dad's home.
Yeah.
What do you want to do, Dad?
Yeah, he loses his mind when I go. Like, I had to go into work for the first time in a while, and he lost his ever-loving mind. Anytime I go camping with a boy for Boy Scouts, he's just a wreck.
Well, but, that's a shame
yeah.
for that dog.
But I think, circling back to Batcher, one thing it always annoys, and maybe it's just every dog that I've had, because I'm just bad at training them, but my dogs never act like the dogs in cartoons. Like, they're not helpful. If I'm like running away from like something, my dogs will just run in front of me and trip me. Just do something that's unhelpful.
That's just self-preservation.
Like, my dog did that one time. Like, I was running in the neighborhood, and I was running by, there's like a bunch of like, it was like the big, jungle gym in our neighborhood. And so there's a bunch of kids in the jungle gym with, and then there's like the wood chips, big playground area. And then there's the area where all the moms were kind of hanging out in their yoga pants and their Starbucks and whatever, talking. So I decided to cut through the middle because my dog's a big, scary pit bull. I mean, he's a lover, but people don't know that. So I said, like, okay, going to keep him away from the kids, going to keep him away from the moms. And it's right down the center. And he just decides that, like he's going to cut right in front of me, and I tumble and eat shit right in front of the chips. So in front of all the moms, which my wife just laughed and said, like, that's what you get. It's like, I wasn't even trying to do anything. I just was trying to, wasn't trying to show off, but I was like, well, you don't have to worry about me any infidelity now. Cause like, I just picked myself up. I got wood chips everywhere. I'm just like, oh God. And I just run off. Like, my dogs would never be helpful in any kind of situation. Like, somebody comes to, like, rob the house. They'd be like, oh, you want to know where the nice stuff is? Follow me.
All right, let's finish up. We only have one little thing left. So as they leave, you see the Ice Vulture again. The Bad Batch leave. What's the planet called? Batten 4.
Batten 4.
As they leave Batten 4. The end. All right, so that's the end of The Return. I know we talked a bunch about it, but did you like it?
Yeah, I thought it was good. It was a self-contained episode that didn't move the overall plot that much, but it was just it was a very much just feeling each other out and having them kind of get back to. They needed time to they needed a weekend retreat to do some trust exercises and bond. So I did like that. I like seeing Crosshair's journey to be admitting his mistake. Hunter didn't trust Crosshair, but Wrecker's like, well, Omega trusts him. That's good enough. So that's showing that Omega has, you know, agency. She's just not the kid. Her opinion is valid. She's not just she's not just a hanger on.
Right. She's actually something that the group can nucleate around, not just like the annoying kid, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was good overall. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I like Crosshair getting better. I like the idea of The Return, honestly. Like, the name of the show, the name of the episode, they return to Pabu. They return to Batten 4. We see the return of Crosshair's armor. The return of sort of their original dynamic, where Crosshair is always the hard ass, but now he's sort of back on the team, not just a hard ass, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think overall it's just a very, really solid episode. And yeah, my only complaint is that, like I'd said in a previous episode, that they're allowed to be mad. Hunter's allowed to be mad and allowed to want answers from Crosshair, but they really made Hunter a difficult character in this episode.
Yeah.
He's hard to sympathize with or empathize with how just shitty he's being to Crosshair the entire time. It's fine, it's understandable, but when someone is trying to be better, the worst thing you can do for that person is tell them that they're not good enough.
Yeah.
It's such a dangerous thing to do. And the fact that he just does it like 3 or 4 times in this episode, like, yes, you deserve an answer, you deserve a response. But like, you have to understand, everybody exists in a context, and Crosshair's context right now is he's a beaten and broken man, and you have to let him answer the question rather than accuse him of something that you don't know he did. right? And Hunter, I'm glad it's Hunter. They're the two hardest ones on the team, right? Wrecker's the tank, he's comedic relief. Omega is everyone should just get along all the time just because.
Mm-hmm.
And Hunter is the one that takes the responsibility, and Crosser is the one that oversteps, right? Or uses his powers not always for good.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of other times, but like Crosshair was like the guy who wants to be, who's always challenging the leader, wants to be in charge. But when they're put in charge, bad shit goes down and they kind of find out that like they don't want to be in charge. That's
right.
Things were much easier when they just were able to gripe about them being the ones in charge. To bring it back to Ted Lasso, Nate wanted so much to be in charge, and then he was kind of miserable and shitty when he was in charge, and then he just wanted to go back to just being the simple life of being right. the kit guy.
Right, and I feel that in my own life, right? I look at myself and I'm like I shouldn't be in charge of anything. Right, I should just go back to pushing papers, right, and being told what to do. It'd be easier. It'd be a whole hell of a lot easier. And I get it, right? I think they do a really good job here with these characters, though, bringing them back together. And I think we can have, like, we have 10 more episodes in this season, and we haven't released. I don't know if we've talked about this, but you know, next week there's 2 episodes being released.
Yeah, so that's got to be a bit of a strong enough story arc that they felt they need to release them together instead of separate.
And we're recording this Sunday night, so it's this week technically, but mm-hmm.
yeah,
it comes out in like 4 days, I think, or 3 days. But yeah, I guess we'll review them together like we did the other ones if they go together. But we'll decide that when it comes. But yeah, I think it's a very strong episode. I'm very happy with. There isn't a single, quote unquote, filler episode in this season yet. But yeah, it's very solid. I like the return of Echo too. Return mm-hmm. again. Still no Rex in this season. Still no Ventress. But we're a third of the way through, and very solid. Still no tech, right?
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be tech.
Yeah, I don't think so either. The further we get in the season, the less likely it seems, right?
Mm-hmm. And they have his glasses, so unless those are his spares that were broken, but I you know it's doubtful that he comes back. But I'm not saying I don't want tech to come back, that I didn't like the character, but he should stay dead because it just feels like I don't know how many of them will live the end because there's been talk about how it's sad. So
could be bait and switch for that stuff. But yeah, Bad Batch has not been the happiest of series so far. But that's Star Wars for you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really no trivia or production stuff I could dig up on this episode. But do you want to move on to the ranking?
Yeah. All right. So now is the time in the show where we rank an episode. We rank episodes by Star Wars characters. So a really great episode would be an original. A really great episode would be an original trilogy character: Han, Luke, Leia, Chewie, Darth Vader, etc. And a really bad episode would just be one that just a character who just could just disappear off the face of Star Wars and no one would bat an eye. Maybe like the one of the Bespin guards with the weird mustache.
The best Bespin guard.
Yeah. The one they made an action figure out of.
Yeah, there's a couple of those, but yeah, like I don't have that Bespin guard action figure.
But the one I'm talking about.
Yes, I do. It's on my list of things to get.
So, Matt, what is your ranking for this episode?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna give it like a Bib Fortuna, because I think this episode works in its context, and it's good, and it's a good character, and it's fun to see him. Like when he shows back up in like Mando and gets shot by Boba Fett.
Mm-hmm.
It's always fun to see Bib Fortuna. But he just sort of doesn't, it wouldn't work by himself. Right? Like he exists in Jabba's palace. That's where he makes the most sense. This episode exists in this period of time. It makes sense. It's good. It's great world building. I like returning to a previous set, right? So we're going back to Batten 4, whatever it's called. Just like we go back to Jabba's palace and Bib Fortuna's there.
Mm-hmm.
Bib Fortuna. It's a good character, good episode. Needs context.
Oh, damn. Yeah, make my choice seem like shit. I was just going to give it to Gregor because I just... It was a good, fun episode. Gregor's a fun little goofy character. No real deep reason other than on the scale of things, I thought it was pretty good, worth a decent character.
I like your pick. It's a good one. I haven't used Gregor before. I definitely haven't. I don't think you have either.
No, I've been like saving up. Like I don't know why I've been saving one up. It's not like I couldn't like use. There's nothing in the bylaws of our podcast saying that I couldn't use the same one twice. But
we definitely have.
Yeah,
I need to finish that document that summarizes our picks and things. But I'm sure we have.
Cool. All right, so. I guess I should just play us off. I just want to thank everybody for listening and downloading. We get listeners usually just by word of mouth because we're too broke to pay anything to anybody to advertise. So you are how other people find out about our podcast. And so, Ed, if you think we sucked, well. Tell your racist brother-in-law about us that we're a really great podcast about the Illuminati and Flat Earth, and so you can waste some of his time with that.
Thank you for downloading and listening to this episode. We would also like to thank Jordan White for the use of his cover of Yub Nub as our intro and outro music. Please refer to the show notes for photos, clips, and links from this episode. Side effects from listening to Yubcast may include dizziness, dry mouth, a sense of confusion, and decreased sex drive. Serious side effects may include speaking in Ewok, speculating the origins of prequel characters, and wondering why two grown men discuss children's cartoons on the internet. For a complete list of side effects or to complain about the show, please visit us on Twitter at YubCast or drop us an email at NoochVaderProductions@gmail.com. Thanks again. We will see you again next week with a new episode. YubCast is not affiliated with Lucasfilm or the Walt Disney Company. Star Wars, its characters, and creations are the property of Lucasfilm and its parent company, the Walt Disney Company. YubCast is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only.
My pouch is full.